house for sale. I'm moving out, I'm moving on. This bird has flown. House for sale, I'll tell you where to redirect my mail.
And here we are, Cleve Gaddis, calling in from, what, Charleston?
Charleston, South Carolina.
I'm yeah, one of my favorite places. Been to Charleston a couple of times. We had a couple of appearances at Spoleto doing one of our plays there, and so I spent some time.
That's right downtown, right?
Yeah, that's the Dock Street Theater is where we were performing, but Isle of Palms Beach, and then there's is it Ferry Beach on the other side? There's two beach communities.
Folly Beach.
What's the old time, you know, the authentic beach, as they call it there, Folly. And then Isle of Palms is where the rich people live. That's what they say when you're out there. So it's kind of like a division, both sides of the city. Anyway.
So are you saying that I can't go to the Isle of Palms?
No, I'm saying just the opposite. I've been knowing you. Although the good restaurants are on Folly Beach, the seafood restaurants.
I'll go see that. Yeah. I'll go see the restaurants for sure. I'm standing outside of the Galeyard, I think is how you pronounce it, center, which looks it has City Hall on one side, or at least City Hall offices, and then it has a meeting venue, you know, a performing arts theater. I'm here for a conference with a couple thousand real estate professionals from around the country learning how to better serve our clients, but I'm actually standing outside because it's the quietest place for me to stand. And remember the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
I certainly do.
Is that what it's called? So that's what it looks like with the big old trees, the moss hanging off, some type of ferns or something growing underneath them. It's just beautiful. I love it being here. And I have to tell you, I had a very sobering experience. I know this is not real estate related, but I had a sobering experience last night. We went to a little get-together, and we called Uber to bring us back to the hotel. And when we got out of the Uber, the nice Uber driver said, "Hey, do you remember the church?" And she gave the name of it, and I'm sorry, I don't remember it, but where the crazy gentleman went in here in Charleston, sat down and was praying with people in the basement of the church, and then pulled out the gun and shot them. Larry, I was standing in front of that church. What a sobering experience. And it just reminded me how delicate life can be for all of us, and how we all need to remember that on a daily basis. Because, you know, when those people went into that church, they had no idea what was going to happen, and their lives changed. And I was literally, I mean, the church is very small, so I wasn't standing more than 100 feet away, Larry, from where it really happened. So anyway, just sharing that with you because I thought it was important.
Very interesting, Cleve. And it's a horrible situation there, and the young man who's responsible for it is still going through the process, and it's a strange story of how people become so hateful. Anyway,
it
here
really,
we are.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Listen, if I were delivering justice in that regard, it would be very swift.
Yeah.
You know, you hate to say that, but I guess it's a good thing we live in a country where we all have due process.
Yeah, well, he's unrepentant, and that's the worst part of it. Let's talk about Metro Atlanta and residential real estate, the update through February. We're on such an interesting time economically and real estate-wise, and everything seems to be in kind of a strange sort of symbiotic upheaval, if that's the word. The stock market and real estate, it's all related, I know, but what's going on here in Atlanta?
So things are still moving in the right direction. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of times last year, it really appeared like things were starting to not stall, but to slow somewhat. But let's just take a look at what happened in February. About 4,400 single-family detached homes. Now, if you remember, that's not the condos and the townhomes closed. That's a 1% increase over February of 2017, right at 1,000 condos and townhomes sold for the month, which is 7% increase over February of 2017. The average sales price just for the month of February, the single-family detached homes, $287,000. That is 8.1% ahead of February 2017. Mm-hmm. The condos and townhomes, Larry, $252,000 average sales price last month, 7.9% ahead of February of 2017. Year to date, we're at 8,300 single-family detached closings, about 1% over 2017. Condos and townhomes, about 1,900 of those have closed in Metro Atlanta, which is an 8% increase. Year to date, our average sales price on the detached homes is $285,000, again, 8% up, and $251,000 is the average sales price for a condo and townhome, which is up 7%. Right now, though, the real story, Larry, is there's about 15,000 active detached listings available for sale, which is a decrease, Larry, of 24% over the prior year. So there's 24% less detached homes available for sale. In the condos and townhomes, there's 2,300 of those actively listed for sale in Metro Atlanta right now, which is a decrease of 15% over the prior year. So the real story is, if you are looking to sell your condo, townhome, single-family detached home, now might be the best time in a long time, because very rarely have we gone into the spring selling season with inventory so low. If you have that detached home, Larry, it takes about 71 days on average once you put it on the contract, once you put it on the market, to get it under contract. And if you have the condo and townhome, it takes closer to 55 days to get that under contract. And, you know, we talk sometimes, Larry, about months of supply. You hear me talk about inventory. And I would love to talk about the concept of that for just a second, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Let me give you just a little, some stats, and then we'll talk about concept. There's less than 3 months' worth of inventory of single-family detached, not the condos and townhomes, available for sale right now, and less than 2 months' worth of inventory of townhomes and condos. And the way that works is, let's just say, Larry, we wanted to analyze the inventory in, let's say, your elementary school district. So what we would do, because, you know, people might search for the elementary school district if they were going to buy a home in your area.
Sure, they do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so it's a good one. So I would search all of the homes that sold in that area in the last 12 months, and then I would divide that total number by 12 so that I could understand how many units got sold and absorbed, if you will, by the market every single month. Then I would look at the number of active listings, and I would divide the current number of active listings by the total number of sales on average per month. So when we say there's less than 3 months' worth of inventory throughout Metro Atlanta of the single-family detached homes, it means that if no other listings come on the market and sales continue at their pace over the prior 12-month average, that it will take less than 3 months for all of those homes to be purchased.
Mm-hmm.
On the condos and townhome side, it means it would take less than 2 months. So that is a very strong market. Now, national economists will tell you that a market is considered in balance when it has 6 months' worth of inventory. Mm-hmm. So the current active listings, if they're absorbed at the monthly pace over the last year, take 6 months to get rid of them all. I don't necessarily believe that is true. The numbers that I use, Larry, are if you have less than 4 months' worth of inventory, it is a seller's market, meaning because there's less inventory, the buyers have less choices, so the sellers have a little bit more oomph, if you will, in the negotiation.
All right, let me jump in here,
please,
real quick.
You jump right in. I'm sorry.
I just want to let folks know we're talking with Cleve Gaddis, king of Atlanta real estate here. But also, is I'm looking back to this 8-year period prior to now. Is the lack of available detached housing or even the condos directly attributable to the fact that everything really came to a stop about a year or two after 2008, that they just stopped these right in the middle sometimes, they like Buckhead. They basically just stopped building houses, and the developments even came to a grinding stop. So we're catching up. Is that what's going on, or
the answer is absolutely. So as new households continued to form during the downturn,
right,
there was no new inventory coming to the market for all. I mean,
right.
So some inventory, but almost nothing. And so now we're sort of paying the piper. Plus, it's exacerbated, Larry, by the fact that you have homeowners living in homes whose interest rates are, you know, 3.25%, 3.5%. You have people, a big baby boomer generation, who can't find the next home they want to move to, so they don't want to put their current home on the market.
Right.
And so you get all of these things going on, but it absolutely contributes to there not being enough inventory for the buyers who are out there and interested.
Yeah, because we're catching up on 8 years where it was a stagnant building market. And, you know, people would be in a home, for example, you know, that say was 20 years old or something like that.
Right.
And they'd be looking for a new house that had just been built, you know, in some other place. But those weren't available. And if they were, they were very, very expensive still. So it'll take a while, it sounds like what you're saying, because building has picked up, right?
Oh, it has picked up. But let's think about this for just a minute. So let's say, Larry, that we went back to 2011, which was the worst year from a sales price standpoint in Atlanta. If you and I decided you were going to buy a house and we looked at months of inventory on the market for you to consider then, you know, we said today it would be less than 3 months for the single family detached.
Right.
Back then it would have been 18 months worth of inventory. So you don't have to be too smart to figure out why builders stopped building because they couldn't sell them.
Absolutely. Well, I know people that got out of. I know people, you know, people I know, like at the YMCA, for example, a friend of mine there, the developer over the years, who, when I first met him back like six, seven years ago, he was heavily involved in real estate. I mean, he was involved in selling complexes and townhomes and whatnot. He's no longer that business, and it only took a year or so before the people he were representing just stopped building the complexes. He had nothing to sell.
He's not the only one who had bad timing. You probably don't know this, but I bought one of the largest brokerages in the state of Georgia January the 1st of 2006. So by October or November, I was not laughing very much at the end of 2006, but I was certainly figuring out, hey, something was wrong. And when you get a market that gets out of balance, it can fall apart fast. But when it's like this, you know, there is certainly reason to believe that the market will have some good steam moving forward. I still believe our home price appreciation rate will be closer to 4 or 5% once we settle out for the entire year, not 8% as it is for the first couple of months. But, you know, when you have less houses than you have households demanding houses, it creates a favorable environment for prices moving up.
Well, they're building, but unfortunately, in downtown is just, as you know, is just midtown, downtown.
It's so expensive. Connected.
But what they're building is, I don't know who, you know, as I've said to you before, there's a lot of people making a lot more money than I am and my friends are, because when you're talking about people paying $2,200 for a one-bedroom apartment here in downtown Atlanta, it's just unbelievable to me. But.
And even $3,000. But we talked late last year about the trend coming for them building more affordable housing. I'm not saying that's happening down close to the city, but as you move further away from the city, they're building a lot more, you know, moderately average priced homes for the area. And it's really exciting to see subdivisions coming out where somebody can buy a house for under $300,000 and a good quality house.
Good. Listen, we're just about out of time, so I want you to get to your other point here to predict as a buyer whether or not a seller will be flexible before making an offer. What is that about?
So, believe it or not, we already covered it.
Oh,
so
we did.
We kind of snuck it in there, so you wouldn't have recognized.
No, I did not.
So if you're a buyer, and so let's say, Larry, you and I are working together, and we're getting ready to make an offer. If you just said to me, Cleve, can you tell me how many months' worth of inventory is available in my price range in my area? And let's say I told you, Larry, there's 1.5. Do you think the seller would be in a position to be very flexible with you because the market was so? That's right.
No.
So if you ask me the same question, and I said to you, Larry, the number is 8, then you would say, hey, maybe I could be a little more assertive or aggressive in my negotiation.
Let's start here.
And so what happens is a lot of times the agents, even the professional agents, they don't educate their client on where they are from a market standpoint. So if you're out there and you're thinking of buying a home, number one, we'd love to help you. You can give us a call, Gaddis Partners, RE/MAX Center.
Yeah, how can they find you? This is a good time to give your information, if you would.
They can reach us at 770-497-0000, or they can visit us online at gogaddis.com. That's gogaddis.com. They can also listen to me on News Talk 1160, your sister station, on the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show today at 2, and then again on Sunday at noon. But we have an index called the Seller, so the Predictive Seller Flexibility Index, where we analyze a market. And if you come to us and ask for help in purchasing a home, you don't have to guess whether or not you're going to have the upper hand in a negotiation or how to take advantage of a specific situation, because we've got an index, an algorithm that figures all that out for you. And we'd love to help you, Larry, or anybody else who out there who wants to know more than the other party when they're buying a home.
And why would anyone go anywhere else, ladies and gentlemen, but to the king of Atlanta real estate, Cleve Gaddis?
I appreciate that, it's
a no-brainer. And speaking of that, we're going to go out with Billy Joel and Moving Out, Cleve Gaddis's theme song, one of his theme songs. He's got two or three. This is the one of when you're moving out. We play this one, House for Sale.
That's right.
Anyway,
hey, take care, Larry.
Okay, have a good time in Charleston and enjoy the seafood on Folly Beach.
I will. Sorry, we had a little extra noise. I was standing outside.
No, that's okay. You sounded fine.
Take care.
Bye.
Great. Bye.